Him and you get focused on Him, the world's problems is not near as big as you think they are when you realize how big a shepherd you have tonight. Psalm chapter number 23, we're going to preach on the shepherd that provides. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word tonight. Psalm chapter number 23 and verse number 1, when you found your place, say amen. I ask you to read along with me. And the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen." Our Father and our God, as we bow in Your presence tonight, Lord, I thank You for these folk that come out tonight to hear a portion of Your word. Lord, as Brother Tony spoke tonight, Father, I thank You that we are a church that still has Wednesday night service. Lord, I thank You for that tonight. I thank You for Wednesday night Bible study. I thank You for Wednesday night prayer meeting. I thank You that we can come out and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, I pray for all the prayer requests all over this room tonight. I pray for Sister Donna's. As her brother has left this walk of life and entered into the glory world, Lord, I pray, Father, that You just bless her and her family real good. I pray You wrap Your loving arms around them. Give them a peace that passes all understanding tonight. Father, there's many prayer requests that's been mentioned tonight. Father, I pray tonight for Brother Caleb tonight and his little babies there. Lord, I pray You'd help them. The one with the allergy, Lord, I pray, Father, they find out what that may be, Father. Lord, I'm asking You for prayer all over this room tonight. The one that's got the broke hip tonight, Lord God, I pray You'd reach down and touch her real good. Lord, the two little twins that needs a touch tonight, Lord, I pray You'd touch their life, Father. There's so many that's been mentioned tonight, Lord. And I pray that You just help them in a mighty way. Father, I thank You for the revival that's coming up. I thank You that we're already in revival. I thank You for the 19 baptisms that we have seen in the month of November and leading into December. Lord, what a blessing that is to a preacher, Father, to know that we're not in a place that's dry, but it's well and doing fine, Father. Lord, I thank You for that. And it's doing that because You are our shepherd. Lord, I thank You for that tonight. I thank You for what You do. Thank You for the building that's coming up. Lord, I pray You bless it, watch over it, put exactly what we need there to be a blessing. Lord, we love You. Lord, we thank You. Lord, we glorify Your name. I ask You once again to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say this afternoon be all about You and not one thing about me. Father, I love You and I thank You. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name and all of God's people said. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come, we've been looking in Psalm chapter number 23 for about six servants now. But here we see that David clearly shows us in the 23rd Psalm that we have a shepherd that satisfies, that cares, that restores, that anoints, and provides for His sheep. The shepherd doesn't only provide on this side of eternity. He don't only provide on this side of eternity our needs and what we have to live, but He also provides on the other side of eternity. That's what David said here. He said not only on this side, but on the other side. You say, "Preacher, where do you find that at in this text?" Well, look with me, if you will, to verse number 6. I'd love to show you that tonight. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That's on this side of eternity. Goodness and mercy and God's grace, it's on this side of eternity. But look what he said here. He said, and this is it. He said, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That means on the other side of eternity. You and I both know that we can't dwell in the house of the Lord forever here. There's going to come a day, Sister Donna, that this old body's going to be laid down. And it's got to happen that way. It's got to go that way unless the Lord comes back for us to ever get into the glory world. And you say, "Preacher, what does that mean tonight?" He said, "I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I want you to know tonight, we can be just as confident as David said tonight, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Why is that tonight? I want to give you a few things about this place that we can dwell called heaven tonight. I want to share with you, number one, that heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. It's not an imaginary place. It's a real place. You know what the old saying is? Hey, you ain't seen, this is the best it gets. You take two old boys together and they got them a old cold beer in their hand and they clean the tops together and they said, "Boy, this is the best best it's going to get. And they're right. That's the best it's going to get. Ain't nothing worse is going to come after that. Nothing good's going to come after that. Hey, but can I say to you as a Christian tonight, we've not seen the best yet. We've not experienced the best yet. We've not got the best yet. You say, preacher, I've got the best life. I'm living the best life. Oh, no, no, you're not yet. Hey, there's a place waiting for you and it's waiting for me. And it is a real place tonight. Heaven is a real place. I want to say to you tonight that David knew that. David didn't say, I might go to heaven. He didn't say, I hope I go to heaven. Listen to me tonight. I'm not a preacher that's hoping I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not a Christian, Brother Roy, hoping I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not praying that I live good enough to get to heaven, because if I pray that I live good enough to get to heaven, I'm going to bust hell wide open. I prayed that Jesus Christ be my Lord and Savior. He come into my life and saved me, washed my sins away, cast them as far as the east is from the west, and now I'm like David. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell there one day. One day when I leave this walk of life, I'm going to enter the glory world and dwell forever. David knew it. He said, I will dwell. There's no second guessing it. He said, I know for sure when I leave this walk of life, heaven's a real place and I will dwell there. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter number 23 as you hold your place in verse number 42. I want to show you this afternoon. Luke chapter number 23. In verse number 42, we're talking about heaven being a real place. You say, preacher, do you believe that heaven is really that real? Do you believe it's really that beautiful? I believe everything the Bible says. Amen? And tonight I know it's real. David knew it's real. And the thief on the cross knew that heaven was real. You say, how did he know it? He had never seen heaven. By faith, he knew that it was real. Hey, tonight, I don't have to see heaven to know it's real. By faith, I know that it is real. Hey, David knew it was real. And even the thief on the cross, he knew that it was real. In Luke 23 and verse number 42, the closest man that I see in the Bible to death here had called on the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was already nailed to the cross. He was already hanging there. The Bible called the two men that hung beside Jesus, the Bible called them malefactors. That's somebody that would continuously do wrong, continuously not do what was right. And both of these men hung there. One railed on him and one repented. And here's what the one that repented said. And you say, do you think heaven's real? He knew it was. In verse number 42, the Bible said, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. When you go to heaven, remember me. And you say, what did he say, preacher? You're not good enough. You don't meet up to my standards. Oh, no. Hey, when he said Lord, when he called him Lord, at that moment in his life, he made a relationship with Jesus Christ. He got in covenant with him. He got in where he needed to be. And I say to you tonight, that's heaven's real. And I want you to know David knew it. I want you to know your preacher knows it tonight. The thief on the cross knows it tonight. And he said this, and Jesus said unto him in verse 43, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Hey, I want you, oh glory, David knew it was real. The thief knew it was real. And even Jesus said, it is real. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You say, preacher, yeah, but that's all that right there is before the death of Jesus Christ. Well, let's go to after the death. Look with me, if you will, to Acts chapter number 7 and verse number 55 tonight. Not only did David know it, not only the thief knew it, but I want you to know tonight, Stephen knew it. Even Stephen knew that heaven was real. I love what the Bible says tonight about Brother Stephen as he's being stoned here. You say, what did he do, preacher? He said, the Bible says, he looked into heaven. He got a glimpse of something you and I have never seen. He got to look into heaven, and he seen Jesus set it on the right hand of the Father. Look what he says tonight. Heaven's a real place. Y'all believe that tonight? Whoa, glory. Look with me, if you will, to Acts chapter number 7 and verse number 55. Here's what Stephen said. But he being full of the Holy Ghost. Only way you're going to see heaven is you be full of the Holy Ghost. Listen to me tonight. The only way you're going to experience heaven is be full of the Holy Ghost. How do you get full of the Holy Ghost? Get born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't get it without being born again. I believe that 100%. Stephen knew it, Acts 7:55, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up. Hey, when a man's been saved or a woman's been saved, they're not looking down no more. They get their head up. Hey, start looking up, watching where they're going, watch what's going on, making sure that everything is in line. He said, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven. There it is. It's real, my friends. There on his deathbed, he looked up. They're stoning him, and he looks up into heaven. He looks up where Jesus Christ is, and here's what he said. And he looked up steadfastly into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Tonight, heaven's a real place. David knew it. The thief knew it. Stephen knew it. And you and I know it tonight. If you're born again, the heaven's a real place. But can I say to you tonight, heaven's not only a real place, but heaven is a reachable place. It's not only just something out there that you say, well, one day I hope I can get there. One day I hope and pray I can get there. I want to share this with you, and I don't want to run a rabbit, but I want to get you talking about a real place and a reachable place. When me and my wife was talking about going on a cruise, we knew we was going to go to another country. We was going to leave this country and go to another country or something else. And I said, what do we got to do? She said, we got to have your birth certificate to leave this country and go somewhere else. And when she said that, son, it was like a red light went off my light, green light, Brother Bradley. The only way to get to this world, to the glory world, is you got to have a birth certificate. It's got to be signed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You won't get from this world to the glory world without Jesus living in your life. I want you to know, you on that boat that we went on, we left this country and went to another country, and as we got sailing there, I knew the Bahamas was real. I knew it was out there. I'd seen it on TV, but I'd never been there. And I want you to know, when she said we could go to the Bahamas, I thought, what is that going to be like? Man, I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to put my toes in the sand, Sister Patsy. I can't wait to take my shirt off and let that sun tan me from one end to the other. I'm ready to get out there. I'm ready to see what God has made. You listen to me. When we got on that boat and we got to sailing, when we went to get off, they said, make sure you got your birth certificate or your passport. What'd that do, preacher? That made it attainable to get there. Tonight, if you don't have your ticket punched, if you don't have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will not reach heaven. Listen to me tonight. It's real. Heaven's real. Yes, we know it's real. But I want to get there. I want to get there. It's not only real, but it's reachable. You said, preacher, how do you know it's reachable? Look with me, if you will, to John chapter number 3 and verse number 5. Here's what Jesus said. Man, if Jesus tells you how to get there, this is the way to get there. It's how to reach heaven. Don't you want to reach heaven? Amen. I want to be there. I'm going to be there. Amen. I see heaven's a real place, but heaven is a reachable place. You can reach it. Man, I don't know about you, but I thank God for that. I thank God that it ain't up to me to get there. It's up to Jesus Christ to get me there. When I put my faith, hope, and trust in Him, at that moment, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. John 3, verse number 5, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is educated. Nicodemus is smart. Nicodemus is a scholar. Nicodemus is part of the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus has got it going on. There ain't much he don't know, amen? But look what he did when he come to Jesus. He came by night. He came confused. He came not knowing really what to do. And here's what Jesus said. And Jesus said unto him, Nicodemus said in verse number 4 unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, does that sound like an intelligent man to you? No. Why? Because we done got out of intelligence and we done got into the spiritual world. And Jesus done told him something that blowed his mind. And I want you to know now, here's what Jesus said. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, or surely, surely. He said, I'm telling you the truth. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot, he will not. There is no way under the sun he will enter the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he shall not enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit tonight. So you said, preacher, how do I reach heaven? By being born again. By being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Repenting, confession of your sins, asking Christ to come to your life, and he saves you. Tonight, heaven is real. Heaven is reachable. Here's what he said. He said, thou preparest a table before me. Then in verse number 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I see heaven is a real place. He provides that. Heaven is a reachable place. He provides that. He provides it's real. He provides it's reachable. And not only that, but heaven is a rewarding place. When you get there, you're going to be rewarded when you get to heaven. Heaven is a reward. Amen. You say, well, preacher, what's going to be in heaven? And I wrote down a few things that's going to be in heaven. I didn't want to give you a list that wasn't going to be in heaven, but I want to give you some things that's going to be in heaven. I'm going to be in heaven. Amen. I used to say this, Miss Patsy. Boy, I tell you what, we better get along with the Church of Christ, Church of God, Pentecost. We better get along with everybody because when we get to heaven, we all got to get along. But I've learned something, and I paid attention. When we get to heaven, there ain't going to be none of that. They ain't going to put the Church of Christ over there, Baptist over there, Pentecost. There ain't going to be none of that. That's what we've done down here. We've separated, segregated ourselves. But it ain't going to be that when you get to heaven. It's His church. And you say, well, what's going to be there, preacher? Number one, I believe this, and I want you to write this down in your Bible, what's going to be in heaven. Number one, the Master is going to be in heaven. The Master is going to be in heaven. You say, preacher, do you got text to back that up? I sure do. Colossians, turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 1. The Master is going to be there. When you get to heaven, heaven is a rewarding place, and you'll be rewarded because your Master is going to be there. Look what the Bible says in Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a Master in. Your Master is going to be there. I said, well, not only my Master is going to be there when I read that, but I see my Messiah is going to be there. My Master's there. The Messiah is going to be there. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 22. I want to show you this. Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 22 tonight. I want to show you this. Heaven is rewarding. You'll be rewarded, number one, because the Master's there. Number two, you'll be rewarded because the Messiah is there. The Messiah is there. Look what he says in Revelation 21 and verse 22. He said, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The Master's going to be there. The Messiah is going to be there. Can I say to you, there are going to be many people that's going to be there. Look what the Bible says in Revelation 21. Let's keep reading. Verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved. A lot of folk going to be there. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. I see heaven as a rewarding place. Number one, the Master is going to be there. The Messiah is going to be there. Many will be there. And mansions are there. I don't know how big of a mansion you've seen on this side, but you take the prettiest, nicest, biggest, beautifulest house you can think of, and I promise you it's a shack compared to what my God's building over there. We got some good contractors around here. I won't take nothing from nobody. But they ain't a contractor like my daddy is. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Well, I'm talking about son. He can take something that ain't nothing to make something, amen? If you don't believe that, you're looking at him. And can you imagine when you get over there and the Master Builder there and he is there and the Messiah is there and all these people are gathered around and he's going to showcase these mansions? Do you think he's going to have it out of place? It won't be out of square. It won't be out of plumb. It won't be nothing out of place. It'll be perfect because he is the one that built it. You say, preacher, are you sure mansions are going to be there? Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter number 14 and verse number 2. Here's what Jesus said. Man, I get into this about the shepherd. It just gets me fired up. I can't even help it. John chapter number 14 and verse number 2. The Master's there. The Messiah's there. Many are there and the mansions are there. John 14, 2. Here's what he said. John 14, 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. Mansions. First time mansions was used in my life was when I read the Bible. He didn't say a double wide's going to be up there. Baby, we trading it in. You hear me? That thing's done us well down here, but we're going to trade it in when we get over there. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. In my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, if it wasn't so, listen to me, I'd have told you. Jesus said, I'm not going to lie to you. When you get over there, you've not seen nothing like you're going to see when you walk in over there. When you walk in over there, it's going to blow your mind. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he said, I go to prepare this place for you. So, preacher, I ain't worthy to get there. Well, I ain't neither. I hope I've satisfied him. You can't satisfy him. Isaiah 53 said there's only one thing that satisfies God, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. It satisfied him when he put the punishment on his son. You can't do nothing to satisfy him. By accepting Jesus, the only thing you do. He's paid the price. Let me move on here, and I want to get on as we get ready to close. I ain't got my watch on tonight. I don't want to get crazy. I see heaven's real. I see heaven, man, I'm telling you, it's real. I see heaven's rewarding. but also see heaven as a reserved place. It's reserved. Not anybody gets to go in. They said there's no need of, there's a gate there and it stays open all the time. And there's no need of in and out. It said there's no need there. If you go back to Revelation 21, it said the gate there, you can go in and out, in and out. Bible says they go in and out and find green pastures. But he said this place is reserved. It's a reserved place. He said, preacher, who's it reserved for? And I keep saying this, and I'll say this to the day I die or quit preaching, whichever one he takes me out of first. Only those that are born again washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only place it's reserved for. He didn't build it for nobody else, but those that accept his son Jesus. What you do with his son Jesus will determine what he does with you. What you do with his word, because Jesus is the word. What you do with the word will determine what God does with you. And he said, this place is reserved. And tonight, when you gave your life to Jesus at that moment, you put your reservation in heaven. Ain't that good? When we first made reservations, Sister Patsy, we weren't much on the internet. I still ain't. Brandy is. She'd reserve a place, and for 3 or 4 weeks leading up to it, I said, Are you sure we got that place when we get there? I don't want to drive way down there and not have a room when I get down there. She said, BJ, here is the confirmation. Here is your confirmation. Tonight, there ought to be some kind of confirmation in your life that it's took care of. Now, the devil is going to make you think 1,000 things why you're not, don't have confirmation. Now, listen, if you doubt your salvation, that's good. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Satan does that. He's the deceiver. He's the one that makes you doubt. He's the one that makes you all these things, and that's okay. That's a good thing to doubt if you're saved or not. But they ought to, listen to me, they ought to be a time, and there ought to be a confirmation that you are born again. Amen? Doubting's not wrong, and doubting's not bad. That one that said, I've never doubted, I'll tell you what, bless his heart. Listen to me, I'm a preacher, I ain't going to lie to you, I'm going to tell you the truth. There's times, you can ask that over there, I beat my head against the rock, and I just don't know. Sometimes I beat my head against rocks, I don't even know if I need to be pastoring on people, I don't even know. Ugh! I don't know if God's called me to this. You say, you've been doing this forever. I've been doing it for a long time. That don't mean I have confirmation in it all the time. But I go back. I have to go back and remember what he's done, the confirmation he's given me, and how he's reserved a spot for me. He said, preacher, are you sure about that? Turn with me to 1 Peter, if you will. I want to show you this. 1 Peter, chapter number 1, and verse number 4. I see it's rewarding. I see it's real, I see it's reachable, and it's reserved. 1 Peter 4 and verse number, 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 4, it is reserved for the saved only. And here's what Peter said. And can I say to you, Peter was probably the biggest mess up you've ever seen. He denied Christ. I mean, Peter was just Peter. But he wrote this book of the Bible. This is the same Peter. The same Peter that denied Christ, the same Peter that preached on Pentecost, is the same preacher that wrote this in this book by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And look what he said here. 1 Peter, inspiration of God. 1 Peter 1, 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Now my inheritance is incorruptible. There's no corruption in it. And it's undefiled. There's nothing that can defile what's laid up in heaven in my life. And that fadeth not away. It won't fade away. Read with me the next word. Reserved in heaven for you. He said this inheritance is reserved in heaven for you. You said, preacher, are you sure? Yes. It's real. It's reachable. It's rewarding. And it's reserved. Reserved in heaven for you. The last place we'll turn tonight, he said, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 16. And I'll close with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 16. Let's go back to verse number 13. It's reserved in heaven for you. And here's how that body is going to get there. And by the way, that body you're in won't get there. You won't need that body. I know you take care of it here and you try to make it as long as you can with it, but that body, all the good that you put in it, it won't make it over there. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 13. And here's what Paul told the church at Thessalonica. They've been people coming in and telling them there was going to be no resurrection. And Paul said, listen, don't you listen to them. There's a resurrection coming. And here's what he said. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know this. Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Can I say to you, when somebody dies, Sister Donna, we do sorrow. But we sorrow not like them that has no hope. We have hope. But we do sorrow. We do weep. We do grieve. That ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Paul thought the Lord was coming then, and I believe he's coming now. For the Lord himself, he's coming himself. Genesis 22, he told Abraham, he'll provide himself. He always provides himself. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Where? In heaven. In heaven. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When that day comes in your life, and that body's laid down. You say, preacher, there's going to come a day that trump's going to sound. And Jesus Christ himself's going to step out of that eastern sky. And he's going to call his church home. And those that are dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then us which remain. Paul wrote that thinking, man, we're here. Paul said, we're here. And then us that remain. He said us. He's talking about himself. He could see it in his day. We can see it in our day. There's folks in here already, I guarantee you, if you're like me, thinking, man, I don't know how much longer this thing's going to last. I don't know how much longer this thing's going to last. So we better be ready and know we've got a place reserved in heaven. And he said, those which remain shall be called up, raptured, pulled out, to do what? To meet the Lord in the air. Why would he bring us up there with him if the place wasn't real? Why would he tell us he went to prepare a place if it ain't reachable? Why would we want to go if it wouldn't reward him? I wouldn't want to go there if he ain't there. We're living to die, Brother Roy, so we can get that reward. Henceforth, there laid up with me the crown of righteousness. And that's why we want to know it's reserved in heaven. There's a lot of folks teaching a lot of things in this old world. You know it. A lot of folks teaching a lot of things. I had a guy call me the other day. I'm cutting this off right now, okay? Because I don't.